Amen. That's what we need each and every day, every moment of our life, is to ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Yesterday's filling will not suffice for today. And so we pray again as the choir has led us, God, fill me with Your Spirit. And that's what we need in order to effectively pray for our ones, to share the good news with those ones whom God has burdened our heart with. And so make that your prayer each and every day. And let God's power work through you, because as Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with Christ, all things are possible. Well, continuing with that theme, I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me in the Old Testament, please, to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verses 3 through 11. I've provided my notes for you there. I hope you'll follow along. Take a few notes of your own as we look together at sharing good news. Good news is the gospel. The gospel is translated as good news. It is glad tidings. It's what our lost ones desperately need to hear. And hopefully they will hear it from us over these next 30 days. I appreciate so much Susan mentioning the Overcomer movie. We've rented two theaters over here at the Georgia 14 Stadium, and they're the nice seats that recline, they're cushioned, and they're all paid for. All you have to do is go to our church's website, sign up for yourself and your friend or your friends, and join us over there this next Saturday night at 7 p.m., and your friend will hear the gospel clearly presented. That might be the one thing that leads them to faith in Christ. And so I hope that you will do that. And I hope you'll follow along in today's scripture as we look at how four lepers shared the good news. And we can be just like them. 2 Kings 7, verses 3 through 11. Would you read silently as I read aloud from verse 3? It says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die.' And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.' Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and they went and hid it. Then they said to one another, 'What we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" Sharing the good news. There are four things I want us to see about these four lepers. Number one, in your notes, their situation. Leprosy is symbolic of sin in the Bible. One with leprosy is typically described as being unclean. In the same way, you and I are spiritually unclean without Jesus Christ, because sin defiles us. A lost man needs to have his life cleaned up from the inside out. You know, the world tells us we need to clean up our lives from the outside in to look better to the world on the outside, and don't worry about what's on the inside. Jesus starts on the inside. Jesus cleans your heart, then the rest will follow. Only Jesus can clean up your leper's heart. Now, in your notes, there are three things that I would like for you to see about sin's effect as symbolized by these lepers' situation. Letter A underneath Roman numeral number one. Sin separates. Where were these guys who were starving half to death? The Bible tells us in verse 3 that they were at the entrance of the gate. They were there because Levitical law made them stay outside of the city because they were unclean. And any time anyone came within earshot of them, they were required by law to shout out unclean so that no one would be contaminated by their leprosy. If you're lost, you are separated from God. Not only now, but you'll be eternally separated from Him in a place called hell. You will be outside His holy city forever and ever and ever, because sin separates. But letter B in your notes, sin also stagnates. Notice the question they ask themselves. It's a very logical one. These guys who are dying of leprosy, dying because of the famine in the city, they're just outside the gate. They say, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" That's a question some of you need to ask yourself today. Why am I sitting here doing nothing about my situation? Why am I so stagnated? Well, the devil loves for you to procrastinate. He loves for you to be stagnated, but we need to hear the word of God again when it says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today, this day, August 18th, is your day of salvation. If you've never experienced the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people say in their minds, well, I just won't decide. Well, indecision is a decision against Christ. You must choose either for Him or against Him. The next thing about their situation, letter C in your notes, is that sin starves. As they accurately acknowledge in verse 4, there is a famine in the city. In chapter 6, just the previous chapter, verse 25, it tells us how desperate the famine was. People were selling donkey's heads to eat for supper at night. I wouldn't eat any part of a donkey, period, much less a donkey's head, but that's how desperate they were. Not only that, if you stay in chapter 6 and go on down into verse 29, a woman was so desperate, she boiled her son and ate him. Sin will starve you without Jesus. Only Jesus will satisfy your soul. And so these lepers in their desperation had a plan. There in verse 4, they said, well, we'll go and surrender. If we surrender to the Syrian army and they keep us alive, we will live. And if we surrender and they kill us, we will die. Pretty logical thinking, but they're saying, we're not going to sit here stagnated, starving to death one more day. We're going to get up and we're going to do something about it. And here was their outlook. We have nothing to lose, and we have everything to gain. Oh, dear lost friend today, if you are without Jesus, I want you to know you have nothing to lose and only heaven to gain if you will surrender yourself to Him today. And so we see four things about these four leprous men. We see their situation. It's a bad situation. Then we see their salvation, beginning in verse 5, going through verse 7. They were saved. They would not die of starvation. Their salvation was physical, and it has spiritual applications for us today. Verse 5 says, they rose. I've underlined that in red ink in my copy of God's Word in verse 5. They rose. They did something about it. They just didn't sit there in their stagnation, procrastinating, hoping that things would get better by their doing nothing. They got up. God can't steer a parked car. We need to get it out of park and put it in drive. You're sitting right now, just like those lepers were sitting. But you might be here lost without Jesus. There's going to be an opportunity at the end of this service where I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and you'll have the opportunity to rise up out of your pew there in the balcony, in the back, in the front, and to do like these lepers did. Come and receive the salvation that Jesus has already paid for in your life. So they rose. You can choose to rise this morning. You're already halfway there. You chose to rise from your bed this morning and get ready and come to church. You're halfway there. You just need to take that final step, but nobody's going to take that step for you. And notice two things about their salvation under Roman numeral 2, letter A. It was surprising. Well, that word's used there in verse 5. Look, it says, and they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. You might not have been planning on getting saved today when you came to church, but you're going to be surprised if you do what these lepers did, if you'll get up by faith and come to the salvation that Jesus has waiting for you. But as I look at their salvation, I see it was not only surprising, but letter B, it was supernatural. Look there in verse 6. It says, for the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they rose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. It was supernatural. It was a miracle. No one was there. And lost friend, I still got good news for you. God will still cause your enemy to hear horses and chariots and armies, and they will flee from your presence. Just as they did from the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Who condemned you? And she looked up and looked around and saw that no one was there. Oh, Satan, he is the accuser of the brethren. He is our enemy. He is our foe. But God can make him flee if you will turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this story, we say, wow, what a great ending. But it doesn't end there. We have to go on into verse 8, because we see, instead of sharing about this good news with those who were dying of a famine back in the city, these lepers were stingy, and they kept the news to themselves, just like so many of us are doing. Two things I want you to see about their stinginess. Letter A, it was selfish. There's still a famine back home, but they've forgotten all about the people there. So they only thought of themselves and their needs. Read verse 8 with me. It says, "And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them." It's not the last time you'll see that word of secrecy, hid, in this single verse. Go on. "Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from it and went and hid it." It reminds me of the story that Jesus told over in Matthew chapter 5 when he said to his listeners, "Look at the city on the hill." You cannot hide a city on a hill. Just like no one lights a candle and then puts it under a basket. That makes no sense. But that's what people who know the good news and have the light of Jesus living in their heart do when they don't tell other people the good news of Jesus' salvation. They are stingy. They are selfish. But thankfully, these lepers have a change of heart. And we look in verse 9 and we see their number 4 in your notes, sharing. Good news is for sharing. And letter A shows us their conviction in verse 9. It says, "Now they said to one another, 'We are not doing right.'" You know, when a little voice speaks inside of you about your lost one, your lost friend, your lost classmate, your lost relative, your lost coworker, your lost neighbor, when that little voice inside of you speaks and says, "This is not right," that is the Holy Spirit convicting you of keeping the good news to yourself. Good news is for sharing. How sad it is to know that many family members, many neighbors, many classmates, many friends, many co-workers will not be in heaven with you because you didn't care enough to share the good news. You hid it. You kept it a secret. You kept it to yourself. One other thing about their sharing. We see their communication in verses 10 through 11. There in verse 10, it says, "So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, 'We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied in the tents intact.' And the gatekeepers called out and told it to the king's household inside." Sometimes it takes a while for us to get to where we need to be when it comes to sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're at the point that these four lepers were. Witnessing has been described this way: it's one beggar telling another beggar where the food is. If you're saved, you know where the food is. And if you care, if you want other people to be saved, you will tell them where the bread of life is today. I have written down the name of my one on this half sheet of paper. Just put his first name. Some of you might put initials. Let me tell you about my one. He's one of the best men I know. He's one of the most charitable people I know. He has more good works than anybody else I know in this world. He is proud. He has been shared the gospel many, many times and has been very, very opposed to it. And so it is with a trembling hand that I now take this name and I put it down here on the altar, saying, Lord, I'm just a beggar. I know where the food is. And this man who's trusting in his good works, who's been so resistant to past attempts, Father, would you open his heart? Would you not only use my prayers these next 30 days, but would you use the prayers of those who will walk by this altar over the next 30 days and see this folded sheet of paper? They won't see his name. It's confidential. But use their prayers for him. You might be here today and you're like one of those lepers. You don't have a sheet to bring to the altar. You don't have a bookmark to bring to the altar. But you have yourself to bring to the altar. Because you're lost. You've been trying to clean yourself up from the outside in, realizing now that the leprosy of sin is in your heart. And Jesus is the only one that can clean you up from the inside out. It's time to take your spiritual car out of park and do like those lepers and rise up and come to Jesus during his invitation. I'll be waiting for you right here after I drop my name off on the altar. I pray that you'll come. Maybe you're here today, you're already saved, but God's speaking to your heart about being a part of a church family that wants to make an impact in our city, wants to make an impact in our culture by leading others to faith in Christ through our prayers and through our witnessing. I pray that you'll come as God leads you and guides you. So let's pray about it right now. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he is our Savior. I pray for that soul that does not know you, that they would come to you today. I pray for those who are looking for a church home that preaches the gospel and also practices the gospel. Father, I pray for those who with trembling hands will now come to this altar and place their one on this altar. And Father, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.